This is June 25th, 2024. Well, good morning. It's a different kind of morning for me, but I'm glad to be with you this morning because I got something I want to share with you. I've been with my mother overnight. I think I mentioned last week to be in prayer for our family as we go through this this journey of mom. She's still with us, but I was with her all night last night, and she's just kind of struggling right now, but hopefully it won't be much longer. And but that's where I've been in the last 24 hours, has been with my mom, and I just thought I'd share something with you this morning. As I kind of got going this morning, I got to thinking about it, and I don't want to share something with you, but of course, before I do that, you know, I want to sing a song, and it's a song that kind of hit me this morning as well, and I'll do that here in just a moment. Let me just tell you real quick, though, you know, I think I told you all about camp. Camp went great, and we had a good time. We had 18 kids that got saved at camp, just Lord bless there in a tremendous way. And then now we're in Vacation Bible School. Matter of fact, last night was the first night. And we had kind of a small attendance. Normally we run around 35 or 40. We only had like 20 last night. So not sure how that's going to fit through the rest of the week, but it wasn't bad. It was great, very manageable. Kids were good. They listened well. And I'm excited about this week. So we got VBS this week, and that will be at 5:45 to 8:15. So 5:45, if you can kind of get here around 5:45, that way make sure everybody's registered and we'll get them all situated so that we can get them all lined up to come in for the beginning. And then 8:15, we're generally done by that time. We just kind of have we just kind of wrap up that night's lesson, and we should be done by that time. So we'd encourage you to come, bring your kids. I think it's pre-K all the way up through sixth grade. If I'm correct on that, I believe I'm right. Pre-K to sixth grade. So, yeah, you feel free to bring your kids and let them enjoy. And it's a pretty good one this year. See, it's called Breaker Ridge something is what it's called. I can't even remember what it's called. But that's what it's called. Breaker Ridge is kind of a beach scene kind of deal. Maybe that's what it's called, Breaker Ridge Beach. Maybe that's something like that. I can't remember. But you probably already know what I'm talking about. My brain's just not functioning real well. But, yeah, we'd love for you to come be a part of that. And then after that, you know, we just things just kind of settle down for a little while. And kids still out from school. And then August comes around and kids could be getting ready to go back to school. So we'll probably have a few activities for our youth this summer. So we're looking forward to that. But yeah, I want to share something. I just want to share from my heart this morning. And it's not going to be nothing that I'd call inspiring or whatever, but it's going to be from the Word of God. I just want to share some comforting words from the Word that helps me when I go through a difficult time. But before I do that, I want to sing this song, and it just came to my mind this morning, and it's What a Day That Will Be. And I was just thinking as I was talking to Mom, Mom knows where she's going, and she's ready. Matter of fact, she told me last night that, man, I can't believe it, you know, it's taken so long, and she's ready to go home. She's ready to be with Jesus. She's ready to see some of her family members that are there ahead of her and not being struggling anymore to breathe. So y'all pray for our family as we go through this. Lord's doing some good things already with some of the family members, you know, through this. So y'all just pray for us. Okay, let me do this song. What a day, glorious day, that will be. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore. on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day, that will be. What a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day, that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. All forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day, that will be. What a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day, that will be. What a day, a glorious day, that will be. Man, what a day that will be, yeah, when we finally reach the portals of glory, you know? It's an amazing, the amazing thing when we think about it, and we think about we leave this world, you know. I was talking to Mom the other day. I may have already said this, but I'll say it again. Let me put my guitar down real quick. But what it was is she said, you know, I hope it's not going to be hard. The latter part's not going to be hard, I think is how she said it. And I said, Mom, you know, the victory's already been won. Jesus has given us victory over death. And you know, it's going to be okay. That's going to be probably the simple part, is when you leave this world, and as the Bible says, we'll be in the presence of the Lord Jesus just as quick as you can blink your eye. You know, that's how quick it'll be. And it does. It's a process. There's some people that are fortunate enough to just die in their sleep and they just move on. You know, death is something that's part of life. My granddaughter, she kind of struggled with this. She saw her great-grandma, you know, laying in a bed and not doing so well, and it just kind of broke her heart. And we talked, and if y'all know Kylie, my granddaughter, she has some challenges, and you know, she's very smart, very, very smart. It just doesn't always come as quickly to her as it does to other folks. And so she was just all upset. And I said, Kylie, you know, this is just part of life. And it is. She's 14 years old, you know, and I told her it's just part of life. You know, you're born, and then, You know, the Bible says you die, and all of us are going to die. I mean, the Bible's very clear about that. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this is judgment. So, the key to that is to be ready, you know, and mom is ready. I mean, she knows where she's going. She's ready to go, and she knows she's got some loved ones in glory that she's, you know, excited to see. But most of all, she's ready to see Jesus, you know, and she'll, matter of fact, unless something miraculous happens between now and this next month, you know, she would be 80 in July. So I don't think she'll make that. Matter of fact, I'm not sure how much longer this week she'll be with us. But yeah, she's ready, and she's ready to go. And that's why I was trying to tell Kylie, you know, it's just, you know, this part of life is we've got to die. And I told her if we live long enough, the Lord doesn't come back, you'll probably watch your papa die, you know. And but, you know, it is. It's just death is just part of life. When you're born, you begin to die. Some people get to live long lives. We've got one lady in our church. Matter of fact, today's her birthday, Miss Martha Youngblood. She's 91 years old today. 91. You know, she's lived a long time. Sweet lady, just loves the Lord Jesus, and she loves people. She's been a member of Macedonia for several years, and just love her to death. She's just great. Matter of fact, I'm going to give her a call here sometime today and just wish her happy birthday and tell her how much I love her. She is. She's a sweet woman. But, yeah, we, you know, we just have life. Life is, I mean, death is part of life, and it is, and it's hard. And, you know, the Bible tells us in Revelation that there's one day that Jesus, that the Lord is going to wipe away all of our tears, and there'll be no more sorrow, there'll be no more pain, no more suffering. All those things will be wiped away, you know, and we'll experience the perfection at its finest. And what a day that will be when that happens, right? This song, and it just came to me this morning, you know, when I was thinking about today's broadcast, I was thinking, man, what a great song that is. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And as Paul wrote in Romans, you know, he said to be absent from the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. So that's a promise. And as a born-again believer, as a saint, one of God's saints, I don't have to fear death. And the reason I don't is because to be absent from this human body that I'm in right here is to be in the presence of the Lord just that quick. And, you know, early this morning, Mom, she woke up and she was just a little, you know, struggling a little bit. And so I was there with her, and she was talking to me. And she said, tell that little girl, thank you. And I said, Mom, you see a little girl? And I was down there kind of close to her so I could hear her, and she kind of pushed my head away. And she said, yes, I see a little girl right there. And I said, well, okay, you see a little girl right there. And she said, yes. Uh-huh. And, of course, I didn't see anything there. So I said, Mom, I said, you may be seeing an angel. And she said, maybe. And I said, okay. So we got to talking a little more, you know, and I was just talking to her. And matter of fact, I was sharing a little scripture to her in Psalms 23 that I'm going to share with you. And I said, Mama, do you still see that little girl? And she kind of moved me out of the way again. And she said, no, I don't see her, but she'll be back. So I don't know if she's seeing an angel or not, but it was amazing. You know, some people say, well, you know, maybe that's just the mind playing tricks. And it could be. Who knows? I don't know. I just know that it comforted her. And Mom's been peaceful through this whole thing. And, you know, if you're saved, you can be peaceful about it. And she has. She's had perfect peace, and she got saved. I remember I was younger, and I probably was junior high, or maybe, I don't know, maybe in high school. I can't remember. I think it was probably more middle school. But I remember when coming home from school, and she told me that she got saved that morning, that she called the preacher and the wife over, and they came to the house, and he showed her some scripture, and she come to know Jesus right there at the kitchen table and at our home. And she was so excited about that. I remember that. I remember her telling me. And my mom's always been, she's always thought about God. And she's tried to teach us, all of us boys, you know, she's got three boys. She's taught us all about the Lord and the scripture, especially after she got back in church and she got saved. And boy, she was just always talking to us about the Lord. That's one of our biggest mistakes, I think, in our nation today, is that our kids are not getting that message anymore from their parents and their grandparents. Even my grandparents talked to me about the Lord, you know, so I knew about Jesus, because I was told about him and scripture. Mom used to take and write little notes, and she'd put them like in our lunch sack or like on the dresser in our room, right, like where the mirror is, where we comb our hair, so she knew that we'd see it. I remember one time I even had a little note in my underwear drawer because she knew I had to get in there and get some underwear, and it was always scripture. And you know, she would give. I'd be at school and open up my lunch sack and digging out my food, and there'd be a piece of paper and she'd have a scripture on it. You know, she was always doing that, and I just think that was so cool. Especially now that I look back on it. And then it's important that we share the word. You know, we share the word with our kids and our grandkids. But, you know, during this time, it's always difficult, you know, when we go through the hardships of death. You know, some people just don't really handle death well. I've got some family members that really struggle with it, trying to deal with it. And I do too, but you know, I'm around it a lot, so I see it. But, I guess what's encouraging to me is that as a saint or as a believer in Jesus Christ, you know, I know that if it's a believer that's dying, I know where they're going, you know, and it makes it a little easier. Through the process, we've had church members, you know, that I've sat by their bedside until they took their last breath. And it's a peaceful death. And then I've also sat beside people who have died who were not saved. And it's usually not so peaceful. And you know, and it's just tough. I just would encourage you, if you're listening this morning, that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that today you would come to know Him. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only hope we have. And you've got to come to Him. The Bible's very clear that we must put our trust in Him. You know, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, if we believe in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead, then thou shalt be saved. That whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We can call on Him, and your deathbed is not that place to do that. I mean, if that's the last resort, yes, but that's not the place. Right now is the time. Matter of fact, the Bible talks about that today is the day of salvation. We need to receive Christ today, and I hope that you will. You know, you think about, there's people out there, they say, well, you know, I wonder if there's anything after life. There is. According to the Bible, there is. We all have a soul and a spirit, and it's going to live on. And one day it'll be connected with a new body, whether in heaven or hell. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to go to hell. I sure don't want to burn. I don't want to be in torment for all of eternity. I don't want to go through all of that. You know, I want to be with Jesus. Jesus said that, you know, in His Father's house are many mansions. And, you know, He goes and He's gone to prepare a place for us. We read in Revelation, He gives us a description of the new, you know, talks about the new heaven, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem. And it's beautiful. I can see what Jesus was talking about when He said, in My Father's house are many mansions. It's beautiful. According to what He has described in Revelation, it's a beautiful place. Hell's not a good place. And it wasn't even made for humanity. It was made for the devil and his followers, you know. And so you don't have to go there. You can go to heaven, but the only way you're going to get there, the key to that is through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, the life, and no man come to the Father but by Him. So I hope you'll come to know Jesus this morning. But I was just going to share a couple of scriptures with you this morning. And I may have shared this before, I'm not sure. But Psalms 23 is probably one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, especially when I'm going through sorrow. I'm going through the pains of a loved one who is dying. Psalms 23 has just always comforted me, and it's got some good thoughts here. King David is the author of Psalms, and if there's anybody that understood what a shepherd was, it was David. He knew what a shepherd was, and he knew his responsibility. Matter of fact, as a young lad, he took care of his father's sheep. You know, even before he would take on Goliath, he was a shepherd boy. That's what he was. He had brothers that were older, and they were at the battle, and Samuel was trying to find the next king of Israel and to anoint him, and he went through all of Jesse's boys except for one and asked Jesse, "Is this all your sons?" And he said, "No, got one more," and he's out there tending the sheep, and they got him, brought him up, and come to find out he's the one the Lord had appointed to be the king of Israel. He wanted him to be anointed. But we also know that David, you know, would fight against Goliath, a giant, and according to the Bible would be estimated around 9 feet tall. That's a big man. And the giant, of course, was a warrior. I mean, that's what he did. He killed people. You know, that's just what he did. And he had full-fledged armor on. He had a bodyguard or armor bearer that was with him. And David, all David had was this sling and 5 smooth stones. And we know what happened. David took that stone and he threw it, and it hit right where it needed to hit, right between the eyes of Goliath, knocked him to the ground. And then David killed him by cutting his head off with Goliath's own sword. You know, so David knew what it was to be a shepherd. He knew what it was to know the power of God. Even while he was a shepherd, he tells the story where a bear and a lion come to get the sheep, and he fought against them with his own bare hands, and the Lord gave him victory. And he even gave praise for that, you know, that the Lord gave him the strength to kill that bear and that lion from getting the sheep. But so Psalms 23 is, you know, a shepherd's psalm, and it says this: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." It's personal to David. The Lord was personal to him because he says, "The Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd." He's personal. He had a relationship with the Lord. And again, I would encourage you to have a relationship with the Lord, even after you're saved, to continue to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. You know, build on that relationship. And he had confidence in this verse when he said it, because he said, "He's my shepherd." But then he said, "I shall not want," meaning that I don't need anything else. As long as I've got the shepherd, I'm good, because the shepherd's going to take care of me. And that's what he describes in the rest of the chapter here. Verse 2, he says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." David knew that the Lord, he had already experienced that the Lord was a provider. He would provide what he needs to live in the land, to live in the world, to live life. He knew that God would be that provider, not only personal to him, but also a provider. He would provide what he needs. He says, "Lie down in green pastures," not the land that's got scrub brush in it. You know, it's the land that has green pastures. And then he leadeth me beside the still waters, the waters that are not overflowing and rough and that would possibly drown you. He leads you by the still waters. That word still actually means rest, peace, peaceful waters. You know, I've been by these little brooks, you know, and you'll just kind of hear them trickling. And it's so soothing. It brings peace to the soul. It does. Verse 3 says, "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Not only is he personal, not only is he our provider, but he's also our pilot. He is the one that leads us. He's the one that flies us, I guess you could say. That's who he is. He's the one that leads me down the paths of righteousness for his sake. You know, he restores my soul and he leads me in the paths of righteousness. That's why it's important that we continue to build on our relationship with the Lord, that we stay focused on him at all time. You know, that's how we make it. And we follow him. You know, Jesus told his disciples, you know, throw down your nets and follow me. Just follow me. Another verse in Matthew chapter 11, where Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, we're going to talk about that here in a moment, that verse, if we got time. Jesus said, you know, if any man come after me, he must deny himself. He must take up his cross daily and follow me. Just follow him. He's our pilot. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. I shared that with Mom last night. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Those two verses there tells us that he's our protector. He's personal to us. He provides for us. He pilots our lives if we allow him to. And he's our protector. He's the one that's protecting us. Just like Mom saw that little girl. Maybe it was an angel. I know there's an angel there. I just can't see. You know, there's an angel that protects us. That's there from God. You know, God created these angels to be his, you know, to be servants for him. Just like he created us as beings and to be servants and to worship him. And I believe we all have angels around us that are protecting us and watching over us. God protects us. He does. And then lastly, we see the promise. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm going to dwell in the house. That's the promise. Folks, to be absent from this body is to be in the presence of the Lord if you're a born-again believer. The promise is, yeah, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's what David said. But he said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Where do we go from here? We go into the presence of God. We go to his house, and we'll be in his presence. Isn't it awesome? Isn't that an awesome passage there? Very encouraging to me. Hopefully it's encouraging to you as well. I don't know what you're going through in life right now, but it just helps. It does. Another verse that I really enjoy is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which helps me, encourages me. I was telling Mom this the other day as well, where it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not in thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. He will. He'll do that, but you got to put your trust in him. You know, there's two things that Jesus wants. First of all, he wants your soul. And then, second of all, he wants your life. You know, Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what that is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. He wants our lives. He wants us to live for him. And he wants to use our lives, just like he's using my mother's life right now. Not only the past that I've known her for 61 years, you know, I've been with her for 61 years. And I've seen her life, and I've seen what God's done in her life. And God's using that. But not just with me, but I have two other brothers that were affected by it as well. I've got kids and grandkids that are being affected by my mother's life, you know. And God can use that even in her death. God will use that to touch people's lives. Why? Because she's a saint, you know. God can use that for his sake. I want to share this verse, this one more verse, and we're just about out of time. And I'll pray with you. But yeah, Matthew 11, verse 28, he says, come unto me. This is Jesus speaking. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Who is the person? The person is Jesus, my friend. When you feel hopeless, when you feel like there is nowhere else to turn, you can turn to Jesus. He's the person. And that's what he said. Come unto me. His plan is that we yoke up with him, that we learn of him. He's meek and lowly at heart. And if we do those things, we will find rest unto our souls. Of course, the promise, that is the promise. He gave it twice. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What is that? Peace. Verse 29, ye shall find rest, peace, unto your souls. And he's the only one that can fill in the gap. There's none but no one else. So I'd encourage you this morning. Again, if you don't know Jesus, you can. Just call upon him. The Bible says, call upon him. Just call out to Jesus and say, please, Jesus, come into my life. Save me. I trust you as my Savior. And then if you're already saved and you just kind of been, you're just in a rough place in your life right now, just call out to him. Say, Jesus, I'm sorry. Help me. I'm not happy in what I'm doing. Help me to get back on my feet again. Give me that joy again in my life. And I promise you, my friend, he will and he can. He's the only one that can. Father, thank you again for letting us be here this morning on the radio and on the internet. We're thankful, Lord, that we have an opportunity to share your word. Your word's powerful. It don't need me. Now I just pray you'll just do what, let your word do what it does and bring conviction to our hearts and help each and every one that's heard the message this morning that their hearts would be touched. Help them. I pray for mom. Thank you for letting me have another night with her last night. And don't know how much longer we have her, Lord, but you know that. And again, I just pray that you'll be merciful and gracious to her. I know where she's going. She's excited to come there. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help her as she goes. And Lord, I pray you'll be with our family and bless them too and help them as we go through this journey. And I pray you'll use mom's death to bring victory into the kingdom of God through either family member, friends, acquaintance, maybe here on the internet, who knows. But Lord, use that for your kingdom. Thank you again for loving us. Give us a great day. Keep us safe. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. God bless you, folks. Thank you for listening this morning. I just poured out my heart to you and continue to pray for us. And Lord willing, unless the Lord comes back or something happens to me, I'll see you again next week. God bless.